There's one set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11 11 listeners.
This is being the geek.
You slimy scumbag, get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con podcast thingy that we do every year, seemingly for some insane reason. Well, people listen to it and do things, stuff, words. Joining me, as always, is Lee. Lee, how you doing?
I am doing very well, John. How are you? I am doing very, very well.
Shall we just go ahead and cut to the chase? We are recording this with, 20 days out? Is that right? Or 18?
How many?
Hold on. I'm looking it up right now.
No, not a week. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that to me.
I didn't say
right at like 16 days out? 17?
17 days according to DragonCon, 16 days according to me, but that's because I'm going in on Wednesday.
Right. Because you're flying in early. You're flying in 2 days early, so that would be...
I don't know. It doesn't matter.
14 days.
The important part is the good news that you got today.
Yes. Today, it got officially announced again that Gillian Anderson is confirmed to come to DragonCon. Very excited about that. Very excited about that because she I think at times I've been asked like who do I want at Dragon Con, and I've actually always said I just kind of like push all the Gillian Anderson, David Duchovny question because I'm like, of course I want them, but you know, my understanding is they don't do cons. She's just started doing cons. She's going to be coming to Dragon Con. The little tiny glitch that had to get worked out got worked out. So she is going to be here. She's going to be here. Plan right now is for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday. And we're doing 2 1-hours with her in one of the biggest ballrooms we can get. So very, 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 very excited. Cannot wait.
Yeah. So she, of course, would fit easily into the X-Track, which, of course, Lee is in charge of.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Yes. Mm. Excuse me. I took another sip of my Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. Even though it is only August, right? It is still August, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's some great news. Everyone was hoping that stuff would get sorted out, and I guess Dragon Con came through and got it all sorted out. What the heck is happening back there?
That's not me. But you know what? I will take this time, as we're hearing that in the background. Is there anything else you wanted to say? Sorry.
No, just awesome.
Okay.
And I look forward to waiting in long lines to see her.
I can't wait. I know.
Well, you don't have to wait in long lines, but whatever.
I can't wait. But there is background noise on our guest line, which almost sounds like it's kind of a chainsaw or something. But this is Sherry, who is the assistant director, second director, whatever you want to call, for disability services at Dragon Con. So, hi, Sherry. How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing fine. And that's somebody that thinks they have a hot rod. I don't think it's a hot rod. It sounds like something that's going to blow up.
It might go booms. Ooh, that would be bad. Don't go booms.
It sounds like
it doesn't need to boom, but that's what it sounds like.
I was actually going to tell you to grab your camera because I think Cloverfield is in your backyard, but nope. That's what it sounded like to us. Hey, Sherry, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate you taking some time out to talk with us today.
Well, I'm really glad to be here.
So, disability services. Before we even get into that, how did you get involved with Dragon Con?
Well, actually, our director, Cherie Wren, is my best friend. We've been best friends for a long time. We share a mutual love of science fiction and fantasy, and she started out volunteering for disability services with Dragon Con when Marilyn Teague was running it. And I came along kind of as a guest and trying to start to learn and realized I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to be a part of the staff. I wanted to help out. I'm visually impaired. I have a guide dog. I figured that there was something I could do to help out.
There you go. And had you been going to Dragon Con before that?
Well, actually, I went with Cherie for probably 3 years before that. And previous to that, I've been to different conventions like Dixie Trek and things like that with various other friends who have, you know, moved on and gone on to bigger and better things and all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So very cool. I'm sorry, John.
I was going to say there's bigger and better things than Dragon Con? I'm confused.
Well, that's what they thought, okay?
I'm confused. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Ha ha, we're better. I like small conventions too, though. There's something fun about small conventions too. They're neat.
Yeah, small conventions. I've been to a couple in there. Compared to Dragon Con, they just don't compare.
Well, it is a very different experience. That is very true, because you're just like, wait, I can actually move around. There are seats. Wow.
There's no lines. No waiting.
The word of the day is not excuse me, please.
Yeah. I'm not running around like a crazy person because I'm the track director, so, you know,
the elevator shows up this decade, that kind of thing.
Yes. Those kind of things. So, yeah.
Yes, but the person in a wheelchair can actually get in it the first time around in small conventions.
Oh, we will certainly talk about that. I've mentioned it many a time that people just need to put on their nice guy hats when it comes to that. But we will get to that in a moment. So you started just going to Dragon Con and just decided, well, I'm going to volunteer. And that was that, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to find, I had to find my niche and exactly what I could do to be a part of it. As I told you earlier, I work for public transit. I work for Atlanta, MARTA in Atlanta, and different events that we do, I don't go unless I get to play.
Oh.
And I find it a lot more fun and a lot more interesting, and I meet a lot more people if I get to be part of it. So I wanted to be part of it.
Cool.
There you go. That is very cool. So what exactly, for people who may not know, is Disability Services at Dragon Con?
Okay. What we do is we try our very best to make the whole con as accessible for people as possible that have disabilities. There's no way that, I mean, we could do everything possible, and it just isn't always going to work. But we try to, with different stickers that we have, to give people different types of seating. I'm going to move to another location if they're going to start that. We just try to make sure that people get the seating that they need. There are people who are visually impaired that may need closer seating. There are people in wheelchairs that are going to need a place to, you know, be with their wheelchair. And if we don't have the room set up the way it needs to be, they're not going to get that equal access.
Right. And one of the things, too, is that we've discussed this before, is that those folks also, people and, how do I put this? Sometimes people aren't aware that there are certain reserved seating by disability services to make sure that everyone gets a fair shake, and it needs to, you know, a lot of folks need to be up closer. Other folks just need space for their, as you mentioned, for their wheelchairs. And not everything is always in the front row.
Right. Some people just need a line of sight in a different way. So it doesn't always have to be front row.
Right. And so, but then.
Exactly.
But then we
exactly, and we have the big screens in the, especially in the major events. One of our stickers is proximity to the screen. It's for people usually who are low vision or have a hearing impairment and need to be able to read lips, because the screens will single out on the person who's talking, and it's much easier for that person to, say, read their lips or something.
Right, so, well, you mentioned the stickers. Can you explain the stickering system to us?
Sure. The first sticker, which is the major category that we serve, are people who cannot walk long distances and can't stand for long periods in line. And these people don't look like they've got a disability, at least most of them don't. But just like, say, somebody with heart problems, for example, you can't see that, but it certainly is a disability, and it limits what they can do. And for those people, the sticker is what we call seat in line, end of row. That means if they're in a long line, they can request a seat to be able to sit in the line instead of having to stand. When they come in, then they're allowed to sit in an end-of-row seat so that they don't have to try to climb over people. And that's, you know, mostly people with mobility impairments, things like that. We do occasionally have somebody, I think we had this person last year, he was a teenager and I guess autistic. The whole idea was to have him close to a door so that if something happened that upset him, his mom could get him out with the least amount of fuss, the least amount of distraction to the guest or to the other congoers.
And that's good. I mean, I think also, Sherry, I don't know if you knew this, and I think maybe some of the people who listen to this podcast but not our other podcast might not know, I've had... been diagnosed with fibromyalgia now, and they're now looking at I'm also being diagnosed with arthritis, and we're trying to figure out which kind it is. And so to look at me, you may not know it, and I got very mad at Delta and wrote a very mean letter actually to them because they very much upset me, because sometimes the issue there is you just can't, for me especially, because my one of my feet get very pained. And it's very hard to walk. And so you may not notice it because I may be fine the day before. And then that day I'm out, I'm done. And this is something I'm kind of still getting used to. So folks, don't just think that that doesn't, just because they don't look like what you think, don't think they aren't. And I think you said that very clearly. And I just kind of want to pop that up there too, because a lot of people are also trying to deal with it as much as they can without making kind of a big deal out of it too. And as you just said, somebody who just wants to do that because if there is a problem, I need to be able to get out easily. That's what we're doing. So if you're in a major room and a track director comes up to you and says, I'm sorry, I'm going to need these two end seats, I'm trying to find you ones over here, please don't argue with them. We're just trying to help everybody out and make it a good con for everybody. So that's
exactly
that one.
And we do tell our people that they need to try to be to the panels as soon, you know, at least 10 minutes before they start, or they might not get a seat. And if the room is full and someone comes in and says they need an end of aisle seat, just like somebody who does not have a disability, they would be told, I'm sorry, the room is full. We aren't going to throw somebody else out. The whole idea is equal accessibility. It's not special privilege.
Right. And that's the other thing, too, because you just said the mom who needed to sit beside her autistic son. So if I have that badge or somebody else has that badge and I need somebody to be with me, I can have just one person. Or if we have kids, of course, smaller children, we can have them. But it's really just one person, helper person. Is that the term you used,
right?
I think, at the meeting,
well,
right?
We tried to use slave, but we were told we can't do that. So we use minion.
I like Minion. That one's good.
But
like
each person with a disability can have one Minion with them. In the case of families with minor children, we do say that those families need to be kept together. But in the case of, say, let's say a teenager and 17 of his bestest, most favoritest friends, no, sorry, one.
Right. So now you mentioned the first sticker. Are there other stickers?
Yes, we have four more. The second one is for our people in wheelchairs. I mean, that's pretty obvious by itself, but it means that, let's say in the smaller track rooms, we don't require that they keep a cutout at all times, but it means that a space has to be cleared for that person in a wheelchair. Now, it doesn't have to be front row. It can be partway back. It can be the last space in the room, just depending.
Okay.
But in the case of a manual wheelchair, two chairs need to be moved from the end of a row. In the case of a scooter, it's two chairs from the end of two rows, and then one seat needs to be reserved for the companion.
Okay. Oh, hey, companion.
The next scooter is our proximity seating, which I think I explained a little bit before. That's 50 feet proximity to any of the large screens in any of the bigger events.
Oh, okay. And companion is another great geek term to use for the person that's helping them.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So you got
I hope there's a blue box and somebody in a bow tie that comes with it, even though I don't really like the bow tie.
What is our you don't like the bow tie? What's the third sticker?
Well, the third one is the proximity seating. The next one is sight lines. That's the front row, but that's harder to get. It's basically we need to make sure that the person really needs that, and there are different reasons for that. In the case of deaf, they need clear sight lines to the interpreter. And an interpreter going into a room will choose the seats that they need to reserve. So the lead people don't have to worry about setting those aside. Another reason is, other than clear sight lines to the action, say somebody like myself with a guide dog, the whole idea is not really front row. It's safe space for the working animal away from trampling feet, and we all know what that can be like.
Oh, yes.
So it's usually front row off to the side so that the dog isn't trampled, people aren't tripping over it, that kind of thing.
And
a few other just little incidental things that are case-by-case basis.
Okay.
And the one thing is, too, is that we're kind of talking about this like if it's in a big room, but the other thing is this is also in our track rooms as well. For those of us as directors, Sherry brought a great little handout that we'll all be going over with our staff, but we also want to let other people know, too. Actually, Sherry, I think one of the things we need to think about, not this year, because if I said it this year, printing will kill me, but probably in the next couple of years, maybe next year, is to get kind of your piece of paper that you gave us, our one pager, and put it up as just like a half size poster in the track rooms, because I think it really helps people understand it. Yeah, I just would like to do that. I think it helps people understand it, because if you're in the room and somebody comes in with a wheelchair, I'm gonna have to ask some people to move in my track room. If you're in the front row and I get somebody who needs that line of sight, I'm gonna need to ask you to move. And you know, it's just, as John said, putting on our nice people hats. You know, and thinking about it in a different way, too.
There's a few little things in track rooms that can be done. For example, one of the things we suggest is slapping a couple of reserve stickers on a couple of front row chairs. Because believe me, it's a lot easier to move someone who comes in just before you close the door and has that sticker into one of those seats than protesting bodies out of them.
Right.
Oh, that is true.
Right. And that's what we are trying to do that too, right?
And when we have somebody with, you know, needing that seat in line, we tell them if there's a line to a track room to please go to the door and ask for a seat in line. Now, they don't have to be brought in. They don't have to have that front row primo seat. But you can do things like, let a few of your line in, then bring that person in, get them seated, then bring the rest of your line in. You have options, and if they want, you know, if anybody wants any assistance with ideas and options, we'll be more than happy to work with them.
Well, let me ask you this, because we haven't addressed this yet. How does someone go about getting this? Because a sticker lives on their badge, right?
Yes.
Okay. How does someone
Biggest thing we do is run registrations for people who can't handle those lines. When we run that registration and bring that badge back out into our area where they're able to, you know, be able to be seated, from what our conversations with that person is, we determine together what services they need, and then we put that sticker on their badge, the little wheelchair alien guy will be on the front of the badge. That alerts anyone else to know that that person does have a sticker from us. the rest of the need, whatever the sticker is, whether it's end of row seat in line or proximity or whatever, that's on the back of the badge, so that there's some privacy for that person too.
Oh, okay, great.
And they can get these badges where? Or who can they go talk to?
When they come, we're right outside of on-site registration in the basement of the Sheraton, and they can come straight to us. If there's security around in those lines, if they say that they have a disability or if they have a need to go through disability services, anybody in security can point them in the right direction, and they can come right to us.
Excellent.
And we can take care of them.
Okay, so it is an on-site registration thing. So you do have to go down to the Sheraton in order to fill out the paperwork. Is there's nowhere online to fill out the paperwork in advance?
No, we don't have any real paperwork.
Okay.
I keep a little bit of a database just so that we know how many people we serve in this, that, and the other category. The only thing we take down is their name, no private information whatsoever. And each database at the end of the year is dumped for privacy reasons. But I do keep numbers of, you know, how many people we serve this day for this particular sticker and that sort of thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, everything is kept private because, you know, we're very aware of the HIPAA Act, and that even when I do my ADA sensitivity training, the Federal Transit Authority, you cannot ask what the person's disability is.
Mm-hmm.
You can ask if they have a disability and what services they need, but you cannot ask them to reveal the disability that they have.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about con etiquette besides just what's in the track. And what are some things that folks can do we talked earlier about there are going to be some people that you're not going to realize are actually in need of assistance. But those folks that are obviously in need of assistance, whether they be in a scooter or in a wheelchair, what are some things that we, or even have a service animal, what are some things that we as
try to give them a little leeway, try to give them some room to move. If they're trying to get on an elevator, be proactive. And I know everybody's trying to get everywhere at once, but, you know, an elevator trip for somebody in a scooter or a wheelchair, believe it or not, can take an hour. If you've got a panel you've just gotten out of in the Hyatt, for example, in the Centennials, your next one's in the Marriott, you have to go up, over, down. So you're going to use two elevators because you don't have access to the stairs and the escalators.
Mm-hmm.
So allowing somebody to get on the elevator that's in a wheelchair, that's probably one of the biggest things. And a little bit of courtesy that way can go a long way. Instead of having that person sitting there and blocking that whole area, because we all know scooters and wheelchairs do take up more room. It's just the nature of the beast. If the sooner that person is allowed to get on the elevator and get on their way, then the less time they're going to take up that area and snarl up traffic.
Yeah, and folks, I encourage you to be vocal. Don't be rude, but be vocal and say, you know, if you see someone that's waiting in line for an elevator and people just keep jumping in front of them, let everyone know that, you know, there is someone here that needs assistance. And if you are on the elevator and you're able to, and there, you say you've only got three more flights to go or whatever, get out and walk and let them have that spot. It's just the courteous thing to do, especially, you know, when you talk to the up, over, and down. Use the stairs, use the escalators when you can to free up those spots. And if you see someone, I mean, again, don't be afraid to speak up or even, you know, be active and get out of the way or hold a spot for them. Or clear some room. It's the right thing to do, and it's in the spirit of Dragon Con to begin with.
And you'll make a friend for life, because so many people are, we hear it all the time, and they're, you know, the elevators are controlled by the hotels. We can't really do anything.
Right.
Where there are phones next to the elevators, we do try to get our people to be as self-advocating as possible, but some people just aren't that good at it.
And I'm going to give everyone
the help.
And I'm going to give folks the benefit of the doubt too. Sometimes they aren't paying attention, right? So if you do see if you do see someone that you know is trying to get on an elevator but has been having a hard time getting on, we talk about folks that you don't notice. Maybe they've been sitting there on the bench, and every time the elevator opens, they try to get up and try to get out there, but everyone beats them to it. You know, ask them if they need some help, or just say, hey, I know I noticed you've been sitting here for a while. Do you need to take a spot here? Those kind of things go a long way in just also making everyone's con experience the best that it can be.
That's exactly
true.
Right.
True.
So enough of the heavy stuff.
So now I know you work at con, but what are you hoping to be able to, during your down from work time, go and be able to attend at Dragon Con this year?
Oh, I love silking. I laugh so hard I cry. I love silking.
Okay.
I haven't really looked at the guest list yet as to exactly what I want to go see. I'll probably look at that a day or two before I go and
see
will.
A person who does it right, people, she knows everything is tentative right now, and there is no reason to get everything all set up in a row. So thank you Sherry, looking at it 1 or 2 days in advance. That's how everybody should do it, right, John?
Well,
unless you're going to the X-Track, because everything on the X-Track schedule is set in stone, and will never
so
change
not. I'm going to kick him in the shin, and he's going to have bruise.
In fact, if the X-Track schedule changes between now and then in the convention, be sure to go and complain to Lee.
And be sure to complain to the tall 6-foot guy who I will be kicking in the shin and have a big bruise the size of a size foot Manolo Blahnik on his ankle and everywhere else. So that's
so I can find him.
Yeah, I'll find him. There you go. I'll send him to you. So I'm so sorry, Sherry. We interrupted you, but I just said, so you look at it about a day or two beforehand and go, okay, there you go. That's what I want
to
go see.
I try to stay flexible because I just never know. I basically run the registration area because Sherry, being the director, is out and about, and we've got the 5 hotels, and she's trying to make sure things are running smoothly and dealing with access issues all over the place. So I'm basically, you know, running the registration area myself. So I'm there an awful lot. But the times that I get to go, then I'll look and say, okay, this is what I want to go see. So I do think on the spur of the moment, but I like it that way.
That's good. You always have some things that maybe you could do, so you never know. Very nice. Like that. Is there any of the stars who have been named so far, is there anybody you're really excited to go see or really hoping to be able to go and attend their panel?
I actually haven't even looked at the guest list much. I've heard Patrick Stewart is supposed to be there. I think the world is a man. I would love to see him. I've seen Bill Shatner a couple of times, and he's extremely entertaining, and that's what I use him for, is pure laughing entertainment, because he is funny.
He is a funny guy. And unfortunately, I hate to tell you, Patrick Stewart canceled. I'm very sad, too.
Oh, no.
Aww.
Oh, well.
But you are aware that Harry Dean Anderson. Is that what I just said? Is that what I was going to say?
I think that was what you were going to say. Want to try again?
Bob is going to be there. No. What the heck is
his
name?
Bob's not. Bob Shatner's. Bill Shatner's not there this year. Keep going.
What is his name? Help me. MacGyver.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
I'm talking about MacGyver.
Oh, Richard Dean Anderson.
Richard Dean Anderson is.
No, he might be fun.
Yes. Is going to be there.
And Gillian Anderson will be there. I'm so excited.
And Richard Dean Anderson and Gillian Anderson are related. I'm not sure if anybody knows that. They are absolutely related. Take it as a fact. They're actually brother and sister. And I'm going to keep talking so we can't hear Lee.
Stop it. He makes it up.
I believe you.
Oh, see? Because it's true.
Me.
because it's true. Harry and the Hendersons and Bigfoot are related. Wait, what? I don't know what I said. Okay, so let me ask you, if you could have three guests, any three guests you would ever want to show up to Dragon Con, living or dead, but
not zombies, because we don't like zombies.
Well, she doesn't like zombies. Well, I don't mind zombies. Who would it be?
Okay, it would be James Doohan.
Oh.
DeForest Kelly.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
And George Takei would be my three absolute tops.
Wow. Now, of course, I think out of those, only one has ever been to Dragon Con, right? That would be...
No.
No, I've seen Jimmy Doohan twice. The man is... when he was alive, was absolutely amazing.
Oh.
And DeForest Kelly was at a Dixie Trek. I don't know if he ever made it to Dragon Con, but he was at Dixie Trek, and he was really cool.
You know, when you said...
Sorry, you go first.
I heard James Dean for some reason. You said that. I heard James Dean in my mind.
I don't know who you're talking about as that writer, because I heard some totally different name and not who they were. Yeah. It happens.
That's probably why I was like, I don't think he's ever been to Dragon Con. And you're like, yeah, all of them have been to Dragon Con. What? No, wait. There's no way.
About DeForest Kelly. I saw James Doohan, Jimmy Doohan. He was in the track room years and years ago. This was the last Dragon Con he came to. And he actually was in tears saying that, you know, his health was poor at this point and this was going to be his last con, but that he had always loved coming to these things and seeing the fans, and it was going to be something he really missed. And he especially
was
going to miss Dragon Con. Were you in that one? And he was especially going to miss Dragon Con because everybody there was having so much fun. They were always so nice, and he just always kind of felt like it was like he came back for like a family reunion or something like that. I can't remember how he put it. It was like a family visit.
Yeah,
and it was
very special.
Yeah, he was in tears, and it was. I know I'm a sap, but George Takei. Oh, especially now that he's kind of gotten a little bit. You know, he's really gotten very into the Facebook and some of the Twitter stuff and all of that. And he is just going to say something. You don't know what he's going to say anymore. So I think he would be so much fun.
Now, George Takei was here like 4 years ago or something, right? I mean, it wasn't too long ago that he was here.
I remember the one year I remember with him so vividly was I went to Miss Klingon Universe, and I had someone with me that was going to do audio description because it just is too much without it. And he, George Takei, was one of the judges. And he was just putting it on, like, I don't want to do this, blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, well, then don't pick the one they want. And he says, what do you think they'll do to me? I said, do you want to keep doing this? And he said, no. And I said, you can do audio description for me. And he just busted out laughing. But I sat, I mean, almost right next to him the whole time. It was really cool.
Oh, wow.
Wait, awesome. Who are we talking about since my computer went wonky again?
Oh, George Takei. We were talking about George Takei.
He's so funny. So you sat beside him the whole time? I'm going to have to listen to this.
The whole Miss Universe, the Miss Klingon Universe contest that year.
Very cool. He's awesome. I actually got to help him find where he was trying to go at one point, and he was so very nice.
He's nice. He's super nice.
And now he would just be all out there and saying whatever he wants to say, and that would be awesome. So he needs to come back.
Yes, it would.
Oh, my God. It would be awesome. All right. So, sorry. So I was going down a point, and I don't know if I should go there now, but what I was saying is, okay, so we know where you are physically located. Disability Services is over in the Sheraton, right beside registration on that very bottom floor. Is there a Disability Services website or an email, or if anybody has a question and wants to keep in contact with you guys?
You can go on LiveJournal. There's a chat usually going on there. There is a section on the DragonCon website for it, along with an email to get in touch. It usually goes directly to Cherie, our director, to field questions and things like that. So we are findable.
Yay! Awesome.
Right. So, if you go to, let's see, if you go to the DragonCon website, it is actually under
Should be under Disability Services, I believe.
Right, and it's under on the left-hand side, it's under the menu Convention Services. Obviously, it's on the fan track.
Not a track.
So you can actually, it has lots more information there too, like it reiterates lots of the stuff we talked about here, which is looking for disability services table at registration in the Sheridan. Even here, if you need to, in fact, is actually, there's a link right here to a scoot around. If you do need to, rent a scooter, cause you know, getting scooters to where they need to be is a bit of a difficulty. There's a place there for you to book online. I don't think that's through DragonCon,
right,
but
it's really best to, if you think you're going to need one, it's best to reserve it in advance. I know that things happen and sometimes you think you're fine and you trip or something happens or, you know, your arthritis kicks up and you just find you cannot keep going. They'll do their best to accommodate you. They're usually right around the same area that we are.
Right. Okay. So there actually is some people there on site handing those out then, right? I mean,
yes,
not handing them out, but you can rent them there on site.
That's right.
As you pointed out, best to book in advance. Make sure you have one. Better to book in advance and not need it than not book.
Desperately
and
need it, not be able to get it,
and then not be able to get one because
there you go.
They're all taken. All right, so let's see. Is there anything else we need to cover, Lee?
I think we got it.
Cool. All right, well, Sherry, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate the time you take, and especially the services that you provide and the department that you service in provides for helping those of us not me particularly, but for those of us those folks that do need help, the help that you do provide is a great service. And you know, if I happen to have to bring someone along with me that need those services, it would, you know, it's good to know that you're there is basically what I'm trying to get out of my mouth.
Well, we're more than happy to be there, and I've been really pleased to be able to do this. Thank you for asking me to be your guest tonight.
Oh, it is our pleasure and our honor. I really do.
Thank you so much for being on, because we wanted to get this out. You and I talked about it after the last meeting, and I think it's important for everybody to hear it, and this really does help people who may not have known that DragonCon does this. Now you know.
There you go.
And it also explained for those of us that have seen those stickers that understand now why they're there and what they are used for and why we need them, why it's so important that we are basically good citizens, essentially, is what I'm trying to get at. So until next time, for Sherry and for Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye.
Bye.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 833-210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons Share Alike non-commercial license.